Hi everyone, and welcome back to Safe Space, the Safe in Our World podcast. For those who don't know, the main goal of Safe in Our World is to create and foster worldwide mental health awareness within the video games industry. My name is Rosie, and today I am joined by Ellen Rose, who is a YouTube creator and one of the stars of Outside Extra.
Hello! Oh, the stars, that makes me sound so fancy.
I know, I did write it, I was like, oh, it used to be dramatic, I love it.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, welcome, thank you for coming on, it's a pleasure to have you.
Oh, thanks for having me. Oh, absolute pleasure to be here.
I also, just before we get started, I saw on Twitter that you have been playing Stray as well, and I need to talk to someone about it, because I have no one to talk to. I haven't finished it yet.
Oh no.
But I like cried so many times for literally no reason, and I need to share that with someone else.
there's a reason. It's a little cat. It's a cute little cat. Oh my gosh.
Cute.
Yeah. I've been streaming it on Outside Extra, and the thing is, like, I was already like, I knew I was in trouble when so we do a monthly video talking about like what game's coming out. And I was making the thumbnail for YouTube, and we like thought, yeah, let's put the cat from the game on it because it's really cute. And I was like genuinely kind of welling up at how cute this picture of this cat was. And I was just like, oh man, what am I going to be like when I get to the game? And we soon discovered in the live stream that I was just like, look at the little cat.
It's so cute.
I can't. It is the cutest. They've done such a good job with the animations, with the little mannerisms of the cat, and just like I showed some of it like to my mum, and like she was just like, oh my goodness, like she used to have a little cat, and she was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's like, that's exactly how little Daisy used to walk, whatever, you know. I'm playing it on PS5 as well, and like the haptic feedback controller stuff is
nice.
Like just every time the cat purrs, I'm just like, I lose it, because you can feel it on the thing. There was a thing actually I saw where there's the website that's How Long to Beat, and it kind of like is a little bit of an aggregate of how long like players can submit how long it took them to play a game. Mm-hmm. And the trend seems to be that PC players are completing it faster than PlayStation. And this particular website, I cannot remember for the life of me which website it was, but they were like, the thing is, like, the PC players don't have the haptic feedback controller. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. In terms of like the PlayStation players are like stopping because they're feeling the vibrations and then freaking out, going, gosh, it's so cute.
I don't think I could handle
that's
that.
What I'm doing.
I don't know if I could. Yeah, I can barely handle the PC version, and just like,
yeah.
Oh, it's just so cute. Oh, no. And like, I've grown up with cats my whole life, and it's like literally so true. It's exactly what they're like. But even just at the start, when you're walking around with your little gang of cats, like, oh my god, it's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Oh gosh. And and it's so funny, because I'm sitting here going, oh, the reason why I'm like so emotional about this is because like I really want a cat, but I'm currently in a living situation that I can't have one, and so this is all like pent up frustration.
Mm.
And then all the comments are like, I have cats, I cry like this, I'm crying throughout the whole game, and I'm like, oh no, if I get a cat, I'm still gonna be the same. I mean, that's me, this is just me, but I'm just like,
yeah. And like,
as soon as I have a cat, I walk in the door and I'm gonna see it do something cute and just be like, oh,
it did that in Stray, oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no, it's so sweet. Like I've just like sighed a lot at it, because I can't handle, like, especially if the cat's in like any danger whatsoever, or if it get like does a little scared meow.
Oh, whatever, like there's these like,
or it does the little limp with the paw up in the air. I can't.
It's like,
No.
Yeah, no, it's so good. Like they've really captured cats so well in this little cutie. And then also like the game itself is just really good. Like it's just a really thoughtful, you know, puzzly adventure game where you're going around, and like I really like the first area that you're kind of in on your own as the cat is like the slums, and like gorgeous. You meet like such cute little robots, and like, yeah, they're just the town, like walking around, I'm like, this feels like a real place that you would walk around in. And it's so well done. And like the lighting design in it is outstanding.
Yeah,
like the sound design is amazing. Like they've just, like, this game has been delayed a few times, and I'm just like, it has been worth every extra second that we've had to wait for this, because it's just gorgeous.
And there's so like many little like places as well where you're like, could I go yeah. there? And then you get there and it's like, of course you can go there, you're a cat. And I'm like, oh my god, I'm a cat, let's yeah. go. And then it's
exactly yeah, and like that slums area is what it's just like, yeah, this, the verticality of it, I realized, I know it's yeah. such a game word to use, the verticality, but like I love going up and down things and like
yeah.
reaching places that you wouldn't normally get to explore, and it's amazing, you know,
it's like, so if Nathan yeah, Drake was a cat, that's it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh my god.
And how can we make a cat pun on Uncharted?
I was really trying to think of one when I said it. I'm so mad at myself.
Instead of Uncharted 4, it's Uncharted Poor. There we go.
There we go. You know what? That's a clip. Perfect. Oh, incredible. Yeah, so anyone listening, if you haven't played Stray, I'd highly recommend it. It's delightful.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I mean, oh, yeah, it's such a good de-stressor.
It is. It's, so it's just like, although it's kind of like sort of horror game, but not really, like in a way. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But it's really relaxing. Like
there's a dystopian edge to it. Yeah. But it's so, yeah, it's a chill dystopian nightmare. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I'm a cat.
It's like existential dread in a nice way.
Yeah.
It's all good. But speaking of existential dread, no, I'm kidding.
Yay!
No, so the first time we met was actually in EGX last year now. And it was a really weird time because we were doing a panel and it was all kind of very relaxed, but about mental health during the pandemic. And it was a strange time for me because the last time I'd been in the Excel Center, which is where the EGX was, it was a hospital still for Nightingale, so yeah. that was weird. And then I remember you talking about the fact that you'd obviously had a wild journey through the pandemic anyway, and so I just thought it was a weird thing to reflect on, I guess, being nearly a year on from that, and how
yeah.
you still feel about it.
Since then I've had COVID. It was not fun. I was kind of like, I was very ill for about 2 weeks, and then couldn't talk for more than 5 minutes without coughing for another 2 weeks after that. So I was basically like a month where I couldn't do my job.
Yep.
Which kind of sucks because I love my job and my job is kind of like keeping me sane throughout this whole thing. But you know, I just rested. I just, you know, took time. And, you know, when I was feeling a little bit better, I did some job things that didn't involve talking, so that, you know, it's a multifaceted thing being a YouTuber. So fortunately, I was able to do some other stuff to keep me busy. But like, yeah, it basically, like, because when like EGX was happening, it was still like checks and, you know, making sure you make sure you wear your mask, make sure everyone has like had their vaccines and stuff before you come in and all that sort of stuff. And that was, you know, really a huge deal for someone like me because I felt a little bit safer walking around. Now events aren't really doing that at all because they don't need to, because all the rules have changed. And basically, like, as soon as the rules changed, I got it because, like, folks, like I've said, everyone listening, I'm immunocompromised, which is why I was like iller for longer. And yeah, like my health basically depended on lots of other people. Like, you know, I can wear the mask. I can wear the mask and, you know, it reduces my chances of getting COVID, but it's way less if everyone wears masks. And so like the past few months has just been me kind of like, oh, I can't go on the tube anymore. I kind of can't go on buses anymore. Like larger trains, it's a little bit less ridiculous because it's not so busy, so I can at least like stay away from people if I need to travel on larger trains. But like, it was yeah, it's been such a kind of like, okay, all the rules have lifted, so there's fewer restrictions for everyone, but it feels like there's even more restrictions for me, and for folks like me, and which has been kind of frustrating. Fortunately, I work with a lovely bunch of people who are all like very careful and, you know, making sure that I feel safe. But yeah, it's been such a weird change, and like we've been getting like still getting more waves of COVID happening again, and like numbers going up, and like seems to be like the cycle is like every 2 months we kind of get another little wave in, and like people are like, ah, it's fine, it's all over, and there's all things in the news where like, hey, so post COVID, and I'm like,
it's still COVID
folks.
Time. It's never post
still happening.
Yeah. No, exactly.
But like, yeah, it's just I think there's a bit of like people just got bored of doing things for it, like got bored of wearing masks, got bored of doing it. And I'm like, look, I know they're not fun. I don't particularly want everyone, like I don't actively want everyone to be wearing masks all the time, but I kind of need it. Folks like me need it to be a bit safer.
Yeah.
Like if it, you know, if I only I had to wear a mask and it was fine, I wouldn't be asking anyone else to wear. I wouldn't be like, no, everyone has to do the same as me. I'd be like, that's fine, I just have to do this because it's for me. But like, it's that it, you know, it was the thing that I found when the pandemic first came around, was like this, oh gosh, I've really got to rely on other people. And, you know, I think 90% of the time that's absolutely fine and I have no problem like relying on others. But it's like to this scale, the, you know, 10% is still too much.
Yeah,
you know,
there's always people that
you
will
can't
ruin it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's been yeah, it's been an interesting kind of look into how people kind of have gone, oh, everything's fine, it's over, where there's still like a chunk of the population who are kind of like a little bit trapped and can't do as much as they used to, even like in that little window after everyone started getting vaccinated and was still wearing masks. Like for some of us, we had more freedom then than we do now.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah, so it's a weird time, isn't it? Like I have only recently just recovered from it as well, and like I totally relate to what you were saying earlier about having a job that often relies on your voice sounding normal. And of course, like the week that I didn't know I had COVID at the time, but I was at home anyway, I didn't go anywhere, and I that week of course had like 3 podcasts to record, and it was just every second was pausing to cough, and it was just painful to do. Like it's just
it's it because I like I in 2019 I had pneumonia, and like that really screwed up my lungs for a long time, and it was just like I'd not felt that bad. I was so glad, like luckily I'd had like both my vaccines and a booster, so like it could have been worse.
Yeah.
Like I was sitting there, I was annoyed, it was so frustrating because I'd avoided it for all of that time, and I literally, you know, one of the few events that I allowed myself to go to, I got it there, and yeah, it was a thing of like someone wasn't wearing a mask, and then they tested that evening just to double check, and then they were like, oh, I've got it. And it was like, man. Oh, great, cool. And then I've probably got it because I was sat next to them for a bit. And then, yeah, 2 days later. Duh. But I'm not upset at them because they were just following the rules. Like they didn't have to wear a mask. And it's like, I'm mad at the people on high.
Oh yeah. Sure.
That's where my ire is mostly aimed, because I know everyone's bored and frustrated and they want everyone to like them, so they change the rules so that everything's a bit more relaxed, but it just, there's a lot of people like, and people in worse situations than me who just, you know, are stuck now.
Yeah, so, no, yeah. Exactly. It's really difficult. And I think it's strange as well, because as events are coming back a lot more frequently, and like I've literally just been to TwitchCon, which was COVID con for a lot of people as well. And yeah. It's like, it doesn't feel that safe anymore. Like I never really felt super safe anyway, yeah. But there was no one wearing masks at TwitchCon and nothing like that. And I think it just kind of, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter who are also like immunocompromised or feel unsafe going to these sorts of events, who will probably continue to feel unsafe for like a number of years until this is actually, if it ever gets sorted. Like, I don't know. It's really hard, especially if you're traveling like a really long way as well. I think it's, you know, yeah. It's less inclusive for people too.
Yeah. There was an event recently that I saw. So I'm a big fan of Rooster Teeth, and they have their convention RTX. And I think it was like the first one that they brought back for a while this year. And oh my gosh, I was so happy watching all of their videos from the event and pictures and stuff, because unless you were on stage so that, you know, people could see your face, and everyone on stage had been tested and stuff, everyone was wearing masks. And it was just like, oh, that's, I'd like that, but also like the law here probably wouldn't let us. Like it's like this weird thing of like, oh, can we do that? That would be nice.
It would be great. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've done some things. So like we've done live Oxventures, so we do Dungeons and Dragons, our Dungeons and Dragons series Oxventure, and we've done live things, and we have always requested our audiences to please wear masks, and most people have been like, you know, amazing with it, because they understand, like, because basically we made a big thing of the channel of like, hey, Ellen's immunocompromised, so like could we just all be careful, but also like it makes you really ill if you get it anyway. So like, cause my sister's been dealing with long COVID, like my mum and I were both like, so I live with my sister and mum currently, and my mum and I are both like on the kind of like vulnerable list, and my sister is not, yet my sister has been dealing with long COVID and we haven't. And so yeah, it's just like she's been having scans months down the line, and like there's still COVID on her lungs, like it's not passable or anything, she can't give it to anyone, but it's just like she's still healing from it.
Yeah.
And so yeah, we want to make sure that, you know, people are okay and feel safe, and like, or especially you're packed in an audience like that. So yeah, unless you know you're medically exempt, obviously, like if you come to one of our shows, like please wear a mask if you're in our audience. It's a huge, like it means a lot.
Yeah.
And like I want to see everyone's faces eventually, because it's lovely looking out and seeing a sea of smiling faces, like everyone misses that. But at the same time, like I also feel really happy knowing that those people are less likely to go home with something just in case someone tested themselves and missed something, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Oh yeah, I feel like there's not much more to add to that, like it's just wear a mask if you can, and if people ask you to, like,
yeah,
more reason to do it, like it's fine, it's all good.
Yeah.
But I guess kind of like leading on from that, and I don't know how much you relate to this or not, actually, but with events coming back, especially with the theme this month, which is all about anxiety and panic, mm-hmm. I'm like a serial sufferer of panic attacks a lot, and have them at events pretty much consistently, but also just in general. Mm. And I wondered like how also being immunocompromised would then fit in with mental health going to events if you need to, and how that's kind of been for you, if you, well, not necessarily just with events either, but just in general, I guess.
My anxiety is like way higher currently, like in terms of like I'm okay day to day, but like in terms of like if I have to go, if I suddenly find myself in a crowd, I'm like, oh god, oh god, this is too busy, this is like I went to see My Chemical Romance over in Milton Keynes a few months ago. It was the one we were supposed to go in 2020, and it'd been delayed. And I went, and I had the best time. And I like it was outdoors, and I wore two masks just to be careful and safe. And like I came out, and I was fine, you know. Mm. But like there was this kind of like have I made the right choice coming to this? Is this a good idea? What if I put myself in danger? What if I? And it's that thing of like, oh gosh, am I putting myself in harm's way unnecessarily just to see a band, even though I've been waiting for this for like 2-3 years now? Yeah, 3 years, because we bought the tickets in 2019. And I was like, no, I have to push through this. Like, you know, we're outdoors, you're less likely to get it outdoors. And like, yeah, everyone like that I went with was absolutely fine afterwards and it was okay. So yeah, it's just like finding, I think one way that I deal with anxiety and things like that is finding space, giving myself other options. So in order to avoid my anxiety on getting on public transport, I bought myself a bike recently, because I would rather deal with the anxiety of like cars on the road, yeah, than airborne viruses. So yeah, like if I'm cycling, I can be like, hey, make space for me, cars, don't hit me. Whereas like, I don't feel like, you know, it's just getting on the tube and seeing like one other person wearing a mask. And then I'm like, okay, right. Okay. Let's just get through this and get out the other side and probably take a different route home.
You're in like more control this way as well. Like there's less factors,
yeah,
you know, that are going to be like, surprise when you get on, because I've definitely had that before where I thought I'd picked a really quiet train or whatever and then got on or couldn't get on because it was absolutely heaving and it's just the worst. But then also I don't know if you have this too, but I recently, well not recently, I say recently, it could be like in the last 3 years at this point, but
time going is back now.
Time is just a concept and I don't understand it anymore. it's getting too real, the existentialism is gonna come back. With the social anxiety has come back hugely for me, because I feel like it's been so long of just communicating and socializing via screens and things that then suddenly you're thrown into a room with like loads of people, or even outside with loads of people, and it's just like, oh my god, this is completely overwhelming. I need time, like I need to go and sit in a dark room for a couple of hours to decompress after this, because it's just a lot to process.
Yeah, like I found my memory has like not been as good. Like I've always sometimes like found names difficult to remember. So if I'm at an event or doing something with someone, like and I've just met them and I think this is someone that I'm probably going to be meeting a few times in future, I'll be like, hey, here's my phone, follow yourself on Twitter from my account, and then I can like see them fairly regularly in my social media and that will get their name in my brain.
Yes,
but like, yeah, I've had things with like actors and people that I admire, celebrities, and I'm just like spoonerizing their names, getting people mixed up all the time, and it's just like, it's not great in social situations where I'm like, what if I see someone that I haven't seen in like 3 years and then my brain has like filed that name away as something that I don't need to know right now because I haven't spoken to them for so long, and I'm just like, okay, what's my go-to, hey, it's you kind of thing. And it's zero reflection on the person, it's just that like over the last like 2 years my brain has just slowly like turn to mush in certain areas, like,
God, I relate to this so
and I'm
much.
Trying to like build that stuff up. Yeah, I'm just trying to build it up again, and like get those names back in my head that, you know, of like there's been like amazing people and I'm like, who's that thing, who's that person in that thing? And like part of me is like, is it just me getting older? But I'm not that much older. No. I'm not hitting the memory loss point of age, you know. And then it's like all the talk of like brain fog from pandemic, from having like from post COVID as well, people who have had it. So I'm like, oh mate, oh great, the thing that I'm most self-conscious about of like misremembering someone's name or whatever is now like a thing that could actually more likely happen And that is giving me some real anxiety when going to social situations.
Yeah, it's like a cycle, isn't it? Because then you think that it's going to happen and then you forget because you're so stressed about remembering someone's name.
Yeah. You're focusing on remembering and not actually remembering.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I'll do at the moment is I just remember their Twitter name or their Twitter handle, and it's obviously not their real name. So I'm like, well, I can't just go up and be like, hi, Darth Vader 246, because that doesn't work in normal life. And I was like, what do I do? That kept happening to me at an event, and I'll recognize their face and like know exactly who they are, but also I have no idea where they work or what their name is. Like, I just know them and I'll say hi and wave.
I was like, I know you. Yeah, no, I had it happen to someone that I used to work with years ago at HMV, and I saw her at the My Chemical Romance concert actually, and I was like, hi. And the thing is, the additional problem there was I'd met a doppelganger of hers in the games industry, and my brain was like, hey, my brain simultaneously recognized her as someone that I used to work with, but then also thought it was this other person from the games industry. And like, I had this like, oh, how are you, how's games fun? And she was like, HMV. And I was like, oh my god, yeah, I'm sorry, my brain is just not sorry. And I wanted to crawl into a hole and die, because this girl was so nice, and like, I was just like, I am like, please know that I really appreciated my time working with
you. I was gonna
go back to my friend's cafe. And I was just like, mortified.
Yeah. It's so easy though. Once you've like merged people in your head, then you like can't get it out. And it's happened. It happened to me, and I thought it was hilarious. So like, on the flip side of that, I think it was probably fine. But like, it happened. It was actually, I was told on the podcast, which I thought was hilarious. And there are two people someone called Rach, who works for the Samaritans, who charity, mental health, streaming, like we're all in the same sort of sphere, and we've got kind of similar looking hair. And Cassie, who was on the podcast, was like, I'm so sorry, I thought you were the same person for like 2 months. And I'd go and talk up to you as I'd like talk to you as if you were the other one and didn't realize. And then only the other day, when you both in a message chat with me together, I realized you were two separate people.
Like, wait, the two people.
Yeah. And I it's so funny, like, how could you ever be mad at that? Like, it's amazing.
It's like seeing Zooey Deschanel and Katy Perry in the same room.
Oh my god, goes, wait, yes. What? Oh, I never thought about that. That's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it. Oh god, they're the same person. I'm gonna have to like do some I've never seen them in the same room.
There's like another actress as well who really looks like the both of them, and I cannot remember her name for the life of me. There's the names thing going, but yeah, like, yeah. There's like a group of women who all have the same face, and it's quite funny.
Amazing. I'm gonna try.
I think they kind of embrace it at points. Yeah. So, yeah.
I love it when people pretend to be the other one as well. Like, someone will go and be like, hey, can you sign this thing? And they like obviously think they're someone else. And they're just like, yeah, okay. Sure, it's me. Your idol.
I won't ruin this for you.
No, it's quite nice. And then I guess if they ever realize that they go home, they're like, well, at least they signed it. Like, it's kind of nice that they did that. It was also a celebrity, just a different one, right? Like,
yeah.
So let's talk about games. I mean, I know we've already talked about Stray, which has been...
Oh, best game.
The best game. Honestly, game of the century. Yeah, even better. Yeah.
Well, the thing, it's so funny. The other game that is my game of the century so far is Half-Life Alyx, and they both like similar, like, aesthetically. Half-Life Alyx. Like, if you get your hands on a VR set, get someone to lend you one or something, or just, you know, find a friend who's got one and just be like, yeah, I'm camping here for the next day and a half and just playing this game. Absolutely blew my mind with what you can do with VR in that game. Like, because I was very fortunate to be a judge for the BAFTAs. Was it 2020? Mm-hmm. I was loaned a VR set, so I sadly can't play it anymore at the moment. So I need to get myself a VR set again so I can go back in and just do it again. I played it through twice before giving them back the the headset and everything. So I was like, please, I need more of this injected into my veins.
Yeah, no, so I've good. Like, I'm fascinated by VR, and I've never actually used like a proper VR headset other than at Thought Park, where they had a roller coaster that you could use VR with, and it was
is that the Derren Brown?
Yeah,
one?
It was really odd. Like, I didn't really understand the story behind it, but like, it stressed me out a lot because it made you feel like you're on a tube, and I was like living in London
with
the
tube train.
Yeah. It was horrible because you put the headset on and then you turn around and there's no one sat next to you, even though you know that there's like 15 other people in this carriage. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. VR like baffles me.
I don't like it because I don't like VR that's just like bleh in your face, and that's what 90% of that ride is.
Yeah.
And then there's also that ride, spoilers for anyone who, you know, yeah, just warning, spoilers for this ride if you want to go in blind. I'll say that again. Spoilers for this ride if you don't want to know what it is. Basically there's like actors as well at some point, and also as part of the VR thing, like a monster walks through. And my friend went on it and her headset wasn't working, so she just kind of had to sit in the VR section and just like not experience that bit of the ride because she was with people. She was like, it's fine, I'll just sit here. And they go along with like a stick, like a big drumstick with the big padded things at the end, and they just like run it across people's legs to freak them out.
They didn't do that to me.
And I'm like, I don't want any sticks touching me. I don't want pretend zombies coming after me. I cannot deal with like actor zombies and vampires and stuff like that.
No.
because the thing is, like, my reflex is to be like, either run. I am fight and flight. I'm both.
Yes.
Like, no, do it and then run.
I 100% yes, a million. Like, I struggle so much not to like just go. I can't.
Yeah, and because it's, I know they're actors, and I'm like, you are just earning a wage and you are doing good work, but please don't come anywhere near me because I am not going to give you the reaction that you want. I'm just going to be like, and I'm just the whole time I'm just like fighting my fight reaction.
Yeah, like, it's normal to just be like, I want to jump at you and then like sprint away. Like, I never thought I was that person until one time in the house that I'm in now, actually. It was, I was living at home and I heard the door go, and I knew both my parents were out, and I called down and was just like, oh, like, hello, like, is anyone there? Nothing. And I was just like, oh dear God, this is my time. Grabbed a hockey stick, went downstairs and was like ready to beat someone up because I was like, you're in my house, get out. Mm. And I'm like not a violent person ever, but I was just like, I'm ready to fight, let's go. And
The adrenaline kicks in, you're like.
Yeah, it was terrifying. It was fine, like, it was just my mum, and she just had a glass of wine and she didn't hear me, but oh my God, I was ready to go. And it's the same, it's the same with VR. Like, I don't trust myself not to hit things. I've seen people hit TVs before and we're like running away or like flinching too much, and it's just something that I would
I had to be really careful. I was playing in the room that I'm recording in now, and as you'll see behind me, I've got a lovely shelf with like vases and stuff on it. I was like, I had to be so careful of that. So like a couple of times I did accidentally like punch that my chest of drawers, and I'm like, ow, reaching out to get something.
It's like, but when we just had like the Wii and you were playing tennis, and like there was there's always something that you'll hit, or like I like completely destroyed a bauble on the Christmas tree because the Christmas tree was like right by the TV, and I just like went to whack this tennis ball and hit a real ball and was like, oh no. I just can't trust myself with things like that unless I'm in like a safe room with lots of cushions and nice things and nothing I can break. I'm the person that has to put the little thing on when they have the Wii remote just so I'm safe and I don't throw it.
Everyone should.
It's there for a reason.
I know, it's nerdy, but it's there so that you don't sue Nintendo for breaking your TV.
Exactly. I think someone told me, actually, I think it was Jake, told me on a podcast that they had to take down an advert for the Wii because they didn't have the safety strap on the picture of the Wii remote, and they were literally like, we can't put it out without that. And I thought that was wild because it's just I don't know, Oh, man. I love the Wii. Honestly, I think it's like the console of my go-to console. And I know that's probably like, I don't even have it anymore, but it's like the one that I grew up with and like played so many different multiplayer things on with, and like playing Mario Kart with like my German exchange friend at the time. Like,
Like, I never had one, but like I played loads on the Wii anyway, because like I would go around to family houses and friends' houses and just be like, cool, we're gonna play. It was just such an, you know, an easy setup to, you know, let's all play bowling, let's all do this. And like they've started bringing that back with the Switch, the new Nintendo Switch Sports, which is pretty good. It's good. It's got football on it. I went to an that was another thing. I went to an event for that. That was like the first like games press event that I'd been to for the longest time, as we went to Westfield Shopping Centre and went and played the sports games, and that was fun. But yeah, like there's nothing wrong with loving the Wii. It's good.
The Wii's great. Everyone bashes it, but like it's 10 out of 10, especially with the board that you like wobbled on.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah.
Apart from like the fact that it was constantly just really critical of weight, and I didn't like that. However, the games were good.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, do you have any like go-to games that are maybe comfort games or games that you just completely had a mental breakdown when you played them the first time because they were so powerful? Anything like that?
Gosh, yeah. Well, Half-Life Alyx, absolutely loved. I like anyone that gives me any breathing room to talk about Half-Life Alyx, then I'm like, it's really, really good. But also at the same time, like, if they haven't played it, I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for you. Just play it. It's so good. I don't want to spoil it for you. But yeah, if I know that you've played Half-Life Alyx, like, yeah, if you're a friend of mine and you're like, oh, yeah, I found it. And I'm like, oh, what did you think? About this bit, and this bit, and this bit, and this bit. What do you think? Because, yeah, no spoilers, but I think, like, the final level in Half-Life Alyx is one of the best final levels of any game ever. Just the build-up to it. It's just really well done, really well executed. But, yeah, like, I've at the moment, I've been trying to, like, play through loads of games that I've been meaning to play for the longest time, especially over lockdown. So like, you know, I hadn't played the most recent God of War, so I sat and played through that. Absolutely loved that, ate it up, so good. I'm so excited for Ragnarok.
Oh my god, same.
Ones, so good. I'm so excited for it. And then the other one was Plague Tale Innocence, and absolutely adored that game. Brilliant little you know, interesting puzzle adventure, such cool, interesting puzzle mechanics, really like dark, but like not like, oh god, this is a bit much, like themes, and like the look of the game is really good as well. It's just so well done. And again, the sequel to that is coming out later this year, which I'm really excited about. Oh gosh, what else have I been playing? I went way back because we had to for a list. I went back and played Alice Madness Returns, and while I think there are some things on mental health in it that they, you know, are very 2010, you know,
right,
the theming was, but it's a really interesting game that like looks at gaslighting and all that sort of stuff, and I'm like, oh, these are like, it's like, it's slight, it was like slightly ahead of its time, but also not quite, because yeah. It still like deals with it in a certain way of like, oh, it's spooky and blah, blah, blah. But like Alice herself, like she's like, you know, been in an asylum, and like she's treated with like a lot of respect as a character, so all the characters are like, you're the mad one here and blah blah blah, and it's all very Alice in Wonderland-y. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I was like, ooh, little 2007 emo me would have absolutely eaten this up if I played it when it came out. You know? really enjoyed that. gosh, what else? Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Oh, that looks very cute. I have seen that.
It's really cute. Like the similar to the cat in Stray, the little rot creatures in that are the most adorable things. And the collectibles, one of the collectibles in the game is hats that you can put on them, which I was like, I didn't know I needed this, but this is great. And it was a really interesting game that like kind of dealt with like loss, because you're kind of like going through this village and a lot of the people have passed away, but like there's trapped spirits that you have to help pass on and like finish their stories and stuff. And it's really lovely, really nicely done. The music in it is absolutely gorgeous. It's got some very tough boss battles, which is kind of like, oh wow, when you get to them. But like just exploring the world was really lovely. I really enjoyed that. And I've realized like I get now anxious if a game is too big. I love games that are very kind of like, oh, I can finish this, like this is 30 hours tops. Brilliant. That's, you know, my ideal game is like between 8 to 15 hours and has a cool storyline and some nice hook to it, like, hey, you're a cat, or hey, you've got a magic staff, or, you know, with the little creatures that have hats. And yeah, I really love those, like jumping in for those experiences, because I found like I used to absolutely be like, I need a game to be 100 hours long, I need it open world, I need to explore endlessly. And I think like a lot of that came from not having much money and needing my money to stretch when I did have it. But like, I think as I've gotten older, as I've gotten more employed, I have been like, okay, I can like actually, they feel like a treat now. Like yeah. These kind of like, ooh, this is like a short game that I can just go in and just enjoy. And num num num, that was great. I love experiencing all these different worlds, and I think that was a real huge help, like during the pandemic. And like, it's always like, you know, like how you like jump into different books and like read different worlds, and it's the same with games. And I love wandering and exploring, and the puzzles. I needed the puzzle solvingy ones just to keep my brain going. Because it really takes your mind off things. If you're like having to run across a huge field, getting a bunch of collectibles, like you can't take your, that's not easy to take your mind off things. But if you're, yeah, look. Oh, that was another one I played recently, Portal 2. I'd never got around to playing Portal 2. I'd played the co-op, but I'd never played the single player myself. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to actually play Portal 2. I needed to for a video. Most of the games that I play, because like, oh, I need to capture something for a game, like for a video on Outside Extra. And then I kind of then just get stuck into it. And I'm like, this is actually really fun. I should actually play this game. And then that's why, you know, when we do a video and we talk about a certain game, it then turns up in about 5 other videos afterwards in quick succession. Yep. Because I've played through it and gone, oh, I've spotted that and that and that and that.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, so, I have to play a lot of games as well for work, to try and like, if we're identifying mental health related games, for example. And obviously I'm like a sucker for that anyway. So as soon as I get into it, I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to finish it now. Like, what a shame.
Yeah.
But it's totally, I love the shorter games as well. Like, I used to be exactly the same. Mm. Like, I wanted it to be endless gameplay, even if it was really diluted. Mm. And I like was obsessed with, you know, like Assassin's Creed, because there's always things to do, especially with the more open world things. Mm. And now it's just like, I find it too overwhelming, and I need someone to tell me where to go and what to do, and then I can just focus on like, that.
Because I played a bit of Valhalla for various things and for capture and stuff like that, and I was just like, this is just so huge. Like, this is too much. I was kind of like excited, because you're gonna, oh, it's the British Isles and Vikings, and this looks really interesting. But like, I just felt myself doing the same things over and over and over again. And I was like, this isn't like giving me that kind of kick that I need. Like, this isn't good enough. This isn't the hard stuff for me anymore, you know? I just like when I see trailers being like, the world map is 10 times bigger than the last one, and I go, yeah, no, thanks.
I'm good. I don't want it, actually.
I cannot deal with that. I would just rather have a concise map with interesting things. Like, I want small maps with lots of interesting things rather than huge maps with a handful of the same things over and over and over again, because it's just too monotonous otherwise. Yeah. I just cannot, like, when they're like, oh, yeah, I'm just not impressed by how big, like, physically a game world is if there's nothing in it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think my problem is as well, like, I get massive fear of missing out on everything because I'm not like a platinum person at all, but I want, if I can do it and if I can find them, like, I want to get all of the things, I want to collect them. And it's so much easier if it's a game you're invested in and you're like, I genuinely get like comfort out of like with the Stray. I found all the sheet music. So I was like, there's limited amount
the
of
sheet
them.
Music, 'cause I was like, I want to hear him play the music. Like, you got a little reward for it and it was great.
Yeah. So the music thing, like, because there was only 8 as well to collect, and once you started finding them, it was like, okay, this is great, because actually I know where they're, not like super hidden like the Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild, which don't talk to me about. I didn't realize there were 900 of them and I had about 30 and was really proud of myself. So yeah, to have like an achievable goal makes me feel good. I feel like I've done something.
Oh, my colleague Luke got all of the Korok seeds so that we could get like the recording of, like, you get a reward. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we did a video on like kind of rubbish rewards that you got for really difficult side quests, and one of them was that, because you
was
just
it really
get, like,
underwhelming
a lump of, it's like a lump of golden poo that does nothing.
Oh my gosh, that's almost like on par with, you know, in Undertale, and you finally work out this puzzle and then the dog steals it out of your inventory.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's terrible. And you can spend like hours trying to do this puzzle, and literally as soon as you finish it, this dog appears out of nowhere and just takes it and you can't get it back. And I remember playing it for the first time and just being like, I've wasted so much time doing this. Why? I did not know that was another game that I jumped into.
Yeah, you got a golden poo. But Undertale was actually another game that I'd never got around to playing, and played because I had to get some footage, and I was like, oh, this is really good. I get why everyone likes it. I get it now, internet. Don't worry, I get it now.
Yeah, for a while, the internet was mad at everyone who did not like Undertale or didn't play it for a while. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, it is a great game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the game is lovely, and another one with a great soundtrack as well. Like, I still listen to the soundtrack on a daily basis, and I've put it in all of like the Safe and Our gaming playlists that we've got on Spotify, because I was like, everyone else needs to hear this too.
Yeah, they're so good. I'm really into like lo-fi hip hop and dubstep remixes of game music.
Yes,
all of the Undertale stuff is so good remixed, like, it because it's like, as it is like just a brilliant soundtrack, but yeah, it's so good remixed as well. Right. Absolutely love it. Yeah, like the Undertale music remixed is so good, and ironically my favorite tune, I'm arachnophobic, and like my favorite one is the spider dance.
Yeah, because it's great. So
I just think it's so
ones.
Good. It's really fun, and I found like a really good remix of it, and I'm like, yes, this is so good for my exercise routine. I love it.
Yes, so I used to listen to Undertale, like the boss music at the gym, and I thought it was just me,
it's
but
so
I'm so
good.
Glad it's not.
No, it's so good. Oh, well, yeah, but one of the things that I, you know, with lockdown and everything, is like, I let my fitness slip because I just was like, don't feel like doing anything.
Understandably.
And so yeah, the last few weeks I've just been like, nope, I got my bike and everything, and I'm like, right, I'm just gonna like go for bike rides, do like aerobic-y type things. I've been on the Ring Fit as well, been doing that. That's been good on Nintendo. Although I've not been on it for a few days because we had the heat wave, and so I literally, it was too hot to play, and so I'm going to go back on, and I wish there was a way to tell my Nintendo Switch that, like, hey, there was a heat wave.
Yeah, please so don't lose my streak.
I might have collapsed. So. Oh,
yeah, it was disgustingly hot. I mm-hmm. was, like, scared to turn on my PC in case it just overheated, so. Also, I mean, you've mentioned it a little bit already, but I wanted to talk about your work with Outside Extra and like content creation as a whole, because mm-hmm. you've been creating content for a long time now, right? Like, it's been a bunch of years.
Yeah. Like, it'll be, in October, it'll be 7 years that I've been at Outside Extra.
Wow.
Which is wild. So that's, yeah, 8 years in the industry making videos, because I was working with Xbox themselves previous to that, and yeah, it's wild, absolutely wild.
How is it for like being someone that's got like an internet presence and people know who you are, and you know, you've got a significant Twitter following and things, like, how is that being on the internet at the same time as like creating? Have you felt the pressures of that as well?
Yeah, it's kind of a double-edged sword, because in one way it's lovely that I've got, like, you know, there's a really solid fan base, especially the Outside Extra and Outside Xbox like core audience is really lovely bunch of people. Like, we recently started a Patreon with a little fan Discord that we can, like, you know, chat to them directly there. And there have been some like amazing people, like, and really, you know, just lovely supportive people, who've like said lots of nice things, which helps when when you're going through things. And like, there have been a lot of nice people when I've just like vented on Twitter throughout the pandemic of like, please wear masks, please, 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 and things like that. They're like, yeah, we agree, and it's like, that's very nice. You know, and I'll, like, sometimes I feel like on Twitter I'm definitely preaching to the choir with my followers. But like, it's a little bit double-edged sword, because you know you get some people who don't understand boundaries occasionally. It's not, fortunately, not been too many people. Most people understand like the parasocial nature of the relationships between content creators, as we would be called, and fans and the people who watch us. Like, we always, you know, want to be welcoming and accepting of everyone, and, you know, make people feel like they are people and not like, hello viewer, pat on head, thank you for, you know, watching the video, please do all the things, click the buttons so we get the numbers go up. You know, we want people to feel like, you know, we appreciate them as individuals as well, and make sure that, you know, they're getting something out of the stuff that we make. Lots of people are really lovely and completely understand that relationship. But yeah, like, occasionally you have people who kind of go a bit too, you know, too far, and don't realize, like, I've had a few people like at events like talk to me as if they know me, like, personally, and like, I've been like, wait, where do we know each other from? I've forgotten who they are. I've forgotten someone. This is my greatest fear come to life. And then they're like, oh, I'm so-and-so. And they say a username. And then I'm like, I've met you once at a meet and greet. And like, you know, we had a lovely conversation, but like, we don't know each other, you know. But fortunately, most of the time, people are very sensible and understand that, like, lots of people like are talking to us, and it's very difficult to, you know, juggle all of those people in our heads and try and remember everyone. So like, thank you to all the people who are so considerate when they like come to events or tweet me and you know, understand if I'm like, wait, sorry, wait, remind me if we have met. So yeah, but yeah, and like, and then on the other side of it as well, you've got the people who don't like me very much, because there are, you know, there are people who are not my fans. But it's really an interesting look into the, you know, the human psyche, sometimes, where often it's the people that like you the least that know the most about you, because they kind of, they go into this like they want to but I think it stems from they want to try and like find dirt on you, and they want to feel like they know more about you than, you know, than you want. Like, it's that kind of like they want to invade your privacy and make you feel uncomfortable, basically.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's really like what do you think you're doing here? Like, what game is this? What are you playing? Like, you know, you get the people who are kind of like weird with female creators online in general. And like there's a lot of like hatred aimed at them. And then, but as someone like who experiences it, I found so many times the people who often send you the greatest amount of hate are also the people who are the like most obsessed with you. And like, I think it stems a little bit from like, they're mad that they won't get to meet you,
yeah,
or, you know, befriend you. And so they take out that frustration on you in an angry way, because they don't know how to process those feelings. It's like when it's the old trope of boy likes girl, boy doesn't know how to say that to girl, so boy is mean to girl. Like, I know it happens the other way as well, but it might, like, you know, that I've had people be kind of like horrible to me, and then afterwards someone's gone, oh, it's because they liked you. And I'm like, that's not how people work. No. That's not how you show them that, you know.
People on the internet are still people. Don't forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really interesting. Like, I've been doing this for outside extra for like nearly 7 years, but I've been on the internet making videos since 2010. So like 12 years of like putting videos out on the internet and like getting comments and stuff. And it's been really interesting. It's just been a really interesting learning experience this whole time about like people and how they interact with each other. And like, yeah, it's this whole idea sometimes of like, oh, well, it's the internet. If someone's mean to you on the internet, doesn't matter, because it's just the internet. But it's like, but the internet is like my job.
Yeah.
Like, it's my place of work. It's where I do all of my, you know, hey, here's the thing, please watch. Like, everything that I make, there's a place for people to directly respond to it in either a nice way, usually a nice way, because most people are, you know, fairly decent human beings, or in the worst ways imaginable. And like, you know, I've been like, Twitter is like the most extreme thing. Like, Twitter, I'll have people who are like, ah, that video was amazing, if I've tweeted it out or whatever. But then like, I've also had someone like who's made multiple accounts just to harass me with, like, well, attempt to harass me. It's just like, what are you writing? This is really weird.
How do you even have the energy?
Yeah, I don't know. But it's like one of the things that I like, you know, I put out like, hey, well, you, one of the times that I said, please wear masks, like, I really appreciate it, please get vaccines, like, it means the world to me if you do this, blah blah blah, and like, you know, I'm immunocompromised, blah blah blah, like, don't overwhelm the NHS need your help, blah blah blah, blah. All that sort of stuff that I was saying. And like, I literally had someone send me a thing saying that I was a drain on the NHS because I have a chronic health condition. And it was like, what is going through your mind? Like, I think
it's like blank space. Obviously,
it's either like, you know, it's blank space, or they're going through something themselves. I think something as well that I've learned a lot is that so much anger that I have received from people is projection.
Yes.
Like, there's so much projection online. And I try to be really careful not to fall into that trap myself. But, like, you know, people saying about, oh, you're making things up, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, that's because, just because you make things up on the internet doesn't mean I do. Or like, oh, you're just doing this for attention. And it's like, just because I've made something, or just because I've said something doesn't mean I'm doing it like for attention. Maybe that's why you make things.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, you know. Or my favorite thing is when they're like, oh, you're just doing this for attention. And it's like, yeah, I want people to watch my videos.
Yeah, it's my job. Like, it's meant to be engaging.
I want people to pay attention to the stuff that I'm making, you know. Yeah, it's just, well, I actually, it happened with Stray. It actually happened this, like, the last week. I took some screenshots of the play, like the stream that I did, just like funny faces of like me absolutely like, you know, like me looking particularly like, oh my god, like head in hands kind of thing at how cute the cat is. And I was like, I just tweeted out going, hey, like, I genuinely cried in this game. I loved it. I love it so much. I'm really enjoying it. Thanks for everyone who joined the stream, blah 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 blah. You can go watch it here. Yeah. And I got picked up by this random Brazilian content creator. I don't even know, like, because I kind of had a little, like, nose around. And he had, like, no viewers on YouTube. But so I think he uses a different platform. But, like, he had a lot of, like, well, a fair few, like, but around 50,000 followers on Twitter. And, like, all of the, I suddenly, this tweet suddenly got a bunch of quote tweets, and they were all Xbox fans, because they, and I could tell this because I was kind of like, I was just intrigued. Like, I do not recommend, if, like, to anyone listening, if you get piled on by people from Twitter and you don't feel like you have the emotional energy to, like, find out who is doing this, you are more like, you have every right to just close Twitter, go for a walk, not think about it, and then come back the next day and ignore it and just carry on. Like, you don't have to do this. This is just me being, like, intrigued by people's behavior online. Like, I went through and looked at the quote tweets and looked at who was tweeting, and they all had the gamer tags in their name, in their bios and everything on Twitter. They all had, like, Gears of War or Halo, Master Chief, all that sort of stuff. In whether it was their profile picture or their banner picture had all the Xbox buttons as opposed to the PlayStation buttons. And I was like, okay, so these are all Xbox fans. And like, despite the fact that all of the tweets were in Portuguese, because they were all Brazilian, like, Google Translate was what, like, it was like I had the option to auto-translate within the Twitter app. Mm-hmm. And they were all like calling me a PlayStation fangirl. They were all saying that I was faking it for views. They were all like, oh, she's a sellout Sony person, blah 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 blah. And it was all like this, oh, Sony's got a cat game. Console wars that I did not know was still happening. I thought
come on.
Well, apparently this very small army of people in Brazil are still doing
they're
it.
They're not over it.
But apparently, yeah. And it was just like, okay, what is happening here? This is so funny. And like, and then to one of them, like, this person had like tweeted, oh, like one of them who had a few more followers than some of the others had tweeted, like, I ignored the initial guy because I was like, if I start tweeting at him, there will be Twitter beef, and I cannot be bothered with that. Like, I could spend time just saying that, like, absolutely embarrassing him, but I won't, and he won't get embarrassed. He'll, like, I'll do things to,
it'll
be
just
like,
fuel
everyone
the fire.
Will think that
it's not
you're
worth it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, my like, you know, I think it's, you know, don't fight in the mud with the pigs, because the pigs love it and you just get covered in, you know,
yeah,
whatever. But what I do believe in is, like, you know, it's shine a torch and make the cockroaches scurry is kind of a thing that I've made up in my head. Like,
okay.
I try not to, like, you know, get into, you know, fights or whatever with people that I'm like, I'm never going to get across to them. And, or, like, you know, I'll leave my point. and then I'll step away. I'll leave a point and step away. And usually that means that in about 5 years, I'll get a message from them being like, sorry, I was rude to you. Because that's happened to me in the past.
Oh my God, that's so unheard of. Or I'm at a meet and greet. You got an apology.
Well, or I'm at a meet and greet and people come up to me at the meet and greet and was like, oh, sorry for that thing I said to you on Twitter. And I was like, I do not remember because I have so many people say weird things to me on Twitter, but okay, like, just don't do it again. Like, I never say thank you, like, that's fine, or thank you. I'm like, all right, because I can't forgive them for what I don't remember. But yeah, but with one of these guys was like, oh, they called me a Sonista. like, oh, this Sonista pretending to cry at camera, blah, 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 oh, wow. Like sell out, blah, 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 whatever. And then I just took a picture that I found a picture of me that I'd shoved on Instagram years ago of me with my Xbox staff E3 2016 badge and was like, I'm sorry, what am I now? and then he was like, oh, what a great badge. And then everyone was like, but you were just rude to her. You can't just turn around and go, cool. Like, yeah. And I was just like, I just left that and like walked away. I was like, you're all saying that I'm some Sony fangirl, completely oblivious to the fact that I used to actually work for Xbox and I quite like Xbox and I constantly still talk about Xbox games here and there on our channel. Like, oh, yeah.
It's just bizarre to me. It was wild.
There's just so many little, like, dark corners of the internet that you forget exist. Or, like, you know exist, but you think, oh, I don't have to worry about that. And then they rear their head and you're like, oh, God, now it's my job.
Yeah. I've, like, been in my backyard. So lucky to avoid that, touch wood, for the time being, that I've not. Mm. But I've always seen, like, mutuals having that experience, especially, it's always Twitter.
Twitter is the worst for it. The reason why this happened to me is because I used the hashtag stray, and you get it, like, if you want to avoid beef on Twitter, if you want to avoid trolls on Twitter, just don't use hashtags.
Yeah.
'Cause all the worst things I get are from people that don't follow me, but like they just go through hashtags. So if they, you know, these people were evidently like Xbox fanboys to the extreme extent, going through this stray hashtag because they were angry that everyone was enjoying the cat game.
Yeah, imagine so being mad at people enjoying a game about a cat.
They were just like, oh my gosh, it's not, and it's like, this is like just the first 2 hours where you walk around as a cat and that, like, you just explore, and then later on you get like a laser and you fight aliens. Like, You clearly don't know anything about this game. But, like, yeah, it was just, like, every single time I've had, like, the worst responses, like, that make me go, oh, my gosh, is this person even human? It's always been when I've just, like, I've thrown in a hashtag just because, like, hey, you know, if someone's interested in the game Stray, maybe they want to see someone playing Stray and, like, see someone having fun with it. But the flip side of that is there's these angry people who just like comb through Twitter looking for arguments.
Yeah. How dare you like a game?
I love and hate Twitter. Like, I've made so many friends through Twitter. It has been a huge part of like me having the career that I have. But like, also, there's just like some people who just need to learn how to interact with other human beings and separate, you know, weird parts of fandoms and like allow people to like different things than themselves. And yeah, it's wild.
Yeah. In summary, don't be weird on the internet. You're allowed to like different things. It's okay.
Yeah.
You don't all have to have the same interests because then it would be boring. But yeah, I think exactly. The ultimate like fight back is just to make them feel a bit silly about what they've said, and then that they'll reflect on it instead of just getting into an argument and just be like, well, that's a bit daft, isn't it?
From early days on the internet, I found the best way to deal with like trolls or anything is kind of laughing at them, not like openly mocking them because then they get defensive, but just like, really, come on, think about it. Yeah, I know, you got to be smarter than this.
Yeah.
Or just like the other one is kill them with kindness and like just like write a really nice response to them. And it's either, you know, you can also do it fairly sarcastically and then it's a sarcastic response and you're still kind of like joking with them. So, you know, you can do like both at once. So just laugh at them, but also be nice. Mm. And yeah, it's just like, oh, okay. Like, and occasionally I slip into the like, how could you think that, blah, 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 blah. When it comes to like, you know, people being awful to me on the internet because of COVID and stuff like that, and it's like, just think about what you're saying, like that, blah, blah, and I'll go serious. And then I'm like, no, what am I doing? I need to get out of this. I'm gonna go for a walk, you know. I'm gonna go play a video game, I'm gonna go read a book, do something infinitely more fun than whatever this is. But yeah, I think people too easily see the internet as like a separate space to real life, but as someone like whose job is on the internet, and then a lot of my social life is on the internet and had to be over lockdown and stuff, like, I don't think we're allowed to make that separation anymore. I think, you know, in the internet is real life. It's humans communicating. It's just a form of communication between real people. It's not all AI robots and and things yet. I mean, there's a fair few bots online, but like, the majority of things is, you know, when you're writing, when you're leaving a comment, when you're, you know, sending a tweet or anything, you've got to realize, I think so many people don't realize that people will read it. Like, sometimes, like, we've gotten a few comments on Outside Extra before where like they write as if we'll never read it. Like, they write as if like just kind of like just write something like really rude and blunt and like, you know, not in a nice, you know, just kind of like very thoughtless. And then sometimes like I'll respond to it and then they're like, oh, hi. Yeah. And then their tone completely changes because they suddenly realize that like, hello, I'm a human being and I can read this and what you've written is kind of rude. But usually most of the time, if they're really rude, I just hide them and ban them forever. So it's fine.
Oh, yeah. It's usually the way to go. Just, if you don't tolerate it, then other people don't join in as well. And it's set those boundaries and stick to them. Like, it's self-care.
Yeah. I cannot emphasize how important it is. Like, we've done it across Outside Xbox and Outside Extra. I do it on my channel, my personal channel as well. Like, you need to cultivate that audience, and part of cultivating an audience is not just getting the numbers up, but it's also cutting back on, like, you know, bits that might be a bit rotten and bits that make the dead parts that need to get, you know, taken off, getting rid of the dead heads, you know, people that might have seemed nice and then actually not that great even, you know.
Yep.
Or people who show their true colors straight away. Like, it you've got to, you know, tend to your audience like they're a garden, and some of that includes trimming back so that it can actually flourish even further and be a good space for nature to thrive, you know, all that sort of deal.
Exactly. No, so, yeah. I feel like that's like the perfect way to end it, because we've gone through, we've gone cat games, we've gone doom and gloom, we've gone, you know, through a whole cycle, and now we just like have a nice garden of community garden, and that's how we end it. Ignore the trolls. It's great.
Yeah, just, you know, don't be afraid. Don't feel like you're being too harsh, because, you know, sometimes people, it's a learning experience for those people as well. Like, eventually, hopefully, they'll grow up and come back with a different account, a bit better and a bit, you know, more, you know, thoughtful. Doesn't always work that way. You can't, you know, I can't guarantee that. But like, yeah, I cannot emphasize enough, like, as a content creator, how much, you know, making sure that your audience is, and it's not just for you, it's also for your other audience members. Because we want to make sure that, you know, everything that we watch, you know, people of all different backgrounds feel safe watching it, you know. So, you know, if you come in and say something homophobic, sorry, you are not welcome. You know, we are, you know, supporters of the LGBTQ plus community. And yeah, like, just things like that. Like, just don't be afraid to take a stand because people will appreciate it. They will really appreciate it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, it's also a space that you have to exist in. And if someone's consistently being like, really negative and against your values, then it's okay to not have them in that space.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. If you were in an office, you'd go to HR and be like, could you deal with this, please?
Yeah. Just because you're on the internet doesn't change. Like, you're still allowed to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Boundaries with people, and that's okay. And I think it's working through like not feeling like you're a bad person for getting someone out of the community because they're consistently like, you know, overstepping and things. So yeah, it's it's hard to do, but once you learn it, it's like it's gonna be so much better for you, for your mental health, for your mindset, and for your community as well.
100%.
But yeah, well, where can people find you, Ellen? On Twitter to send you nice messages, please, and
nice
not
messages.
Nasty.
I am Ickle Nelly Rose, so Icklenellie and Rose, like the flower on the end there. And that is a very complicated name, but it stems from a childhood nickname, so that's why it means a lot to me.
Yeah. I feel that with Artie Party, everyone's like, why is it? And I'm just like, please just let
that?
It be.
Because families, my mum and dad used to call me a K. obviously there's Outside Extra, and we are the sister channel to Outside Xbox, who are also amazing and I heavily recommend. But yeah, I'm on the YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as well. Starting on TikTok. Oh, cannot recommend TikTok enough.
So
it's
good.
Good. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of nice people following me. Why don't you join them?
Yes.
All nice.
Please do. Yeah, I will put all of the links as well in the description of the podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been delightful.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And
thank you for letting me get excited about the cat.
Thanks for being excited about the cat game with me. I've no one else has played it in my friend group, and I don't understand what I've done wrong. Like, I'm like, why are we friends if you haven't played it yet? So I've decided to stream it this week so that everyone has to experience it with me.
Yeah, that's the way.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Safe Space. If you're struggling, please know that there is support out there, and if you're looking for somewhere to start, please do visit our website at safeinourworld.org for a list of global helplines, information and support. You can also find us on all of the social medias at Safe in Our World if you'd like to follow the charity in our future endeavours. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.